Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Hopefully you all recognize the lie in those words. Broken bones heal over time and only rarely leave lasting effects. But words cut deeper than any stick or stone ever could. Words can destroy a person more thoroughly than any physical attack ever could. So I hope that you're not particularly surprised to hear James speaking of how important it is to control our tongues. How important it is to control the words that come out of our mouths. Before we dive into that, though, let's take a moment and think about that very first verse in our reading for today. Listen to it again. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. This verse is probably why it can be difficult to find pastors, Bible study leaders, and Sunday school teachers. Because we know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. It's not an easy burden to bear, knowing that when God judges my life at the end of days, that part of what he's going to look at is how well I taught you all about his son. He will judge me on whether I spoke the truth to you and taught you the truth. There will come a day when I have to face those times that I failed, those people that I failed. Those times that I made a mistake and accidentally spoke something other than the truth, as well as those times when I simply didn't speak it as well as I could have. That is one of the reasons that no one should enter the office of the ministry lightly. And it's one of the reasons that you should seriously consider whether or not you are willing to be a teacher in the church. However, don't think that means it's not worth it. As much as it is a burden to know that I have failed, that I have sinned, it is a glorious thought indeed to know that by the grace of God, there are times when I succeeded, that there are times when the Spirit used the words coming out of my mouth to inspire and strengthen the faith of those who heard it. That I, poor, miserable, and sinful Chris, truly am a called and ordained servant of Christ, and that he uses me in this world to speak truth, teach his doctrine, and administer his sacraments. That he would deign to use me, of all people, to reach out into the world and snatch people from the jaws of sin, death, and even from the devil himself. It is a glory that I don't deserve and a gift that I could never thank him enough for. So even though the burdens are great, I would encourage you, when you contemplate whether you want to be a teacher of the faith, to not just think about the difficulties and the hardships, but also to think about the truth that God can use you to teach his faith. And that the joy you can find in that vocation is hard to compare to anything else. When you teach the faith, you have an impact on your students' eternity. That means that we can mess it up, but it also means that by God's grace, we can succeed. And just imagine seeing the students who you taught in heaven with you for eternity. Because of the words that God spoke to them through you. But of course, not all words are words of teaching. And James doesn't spend the rest of our text speaking about just teaching. Listen, therefore, and hear what James has to say about taming our tongue. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, whatever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Out of all the parts of our body that we use on a regular basis, there aren't many that get us in more trouble than our tongue. You all know how it is. Often, all it takes is one word in the wrong ear, and all of a sudden, you've got to spend the next month doing damage control. And of course, we all know that once something has been said, it really can't be taken back. You can apologize, can say you didn't mean it, that you were just angry or sad or excited. But ultimately, the words came out of your mouth, and now there's not all that much you can do about it. James is here trying to emphasize for you just how important it is for you to control your mouths. If you can manage to keep your tongue under control, you can pretty much manage to control any part of your normal life. Hopefully, this isn't surprising for you. You should have heard things like this before. However, that doesn't mean that we're always good at actually doing it, or even trying to do it. One of the ways that I've noticed it being a bit of a problem here is that oftentimes people won't actually say anything. Which, admittedly, is oftentimes better than saying too much. However, James isn't trying to get you to be silent here. God doesn't want you to never speak. He absolutely wants you to speak truth into the world and to use your words to build up those around you. And silence can be just as hurtful as insults. Especially when that silence will only last until people's backs are turned and you start gossiping. Again, we know this. We all know how we are supposed to behave. We all know how we are supposed to use our words. You should never, ever speak a word that is meant to tear down and destroy. You should always, always, always be kind with your words. It doesn't matter if it takes you longer. It doesn't matter if it's harder. What matters is you using one of the most powerful gifts that God has given you for good. I truly do hope you realize how powerful your words are. Just think for a moment about what words can do. Words can communicate ideas and thoughts. With our words, we can take a thought from our mind and put it into another person's mind. Words can also inspire emotions in other people. Your words can make people feel better than they've ever felt before, or can make people feel about as small as a grain of sand. And that's just a few examples of what our words can do. What about what God's word can do? Remember how God created all things in this world. He spoke them into being. God used his word to create everything. And he didn't just stop there. Even now, he uses his word to create faith inside of us. It is his word that gives our baptism its power to wash away our iniquities. And it is his word that gives our communion its power to forgive our sins and strengthen our faith. And of course, it is his word that became flesh for us. Jesus, the Christ, the Word incarnate, the Son of God, our Lord and God, deigned to become human, thereby exalting mankind. It was that incarnate Word who died on the cross for us. Jesus' death declares us righteous, and his very own Word makes that to be true when he declares, "It is finished." It is also that very same Word that raised him from the dead, and that very same Word that will raise us up from the dead when he comes back in his glory. And you are able to use words too. Yet, while we speak of goodness and mercy and bless our Lord and Father on Sunday mornings, do we dare to curse people who are made in the very same image of our Lord? Would you dare to use the very same tongue that has just finished singing the praises of our Savior to curse, swear, and lie? Would you truly take something that could be so holy and desecrate it with your careless words? That's the question that James is forcing you to ask yourself today. Will you use the gift of words in a holy way that is pleasing to God, as Christ himself used it for us? Or will you use it for your own selfish purposes, as the devil did when he tricked Eve in the garden? You are free to choose the holy way, free to use your words to speak the truth of God's word, to build up those around you, and to say everything in the kindest way. This is part of the gift that Christ earned for you on the cross, part of how he uses his word to enable us to be free to use our words in the same way. And you are also freed by God's word to make a change in yourself, no matter how bad you've been at it in the past. As James himself says, we all stumble in many ways. And that is particularly true when we speak of how we use our words. But that doesn't mean you have to give up. The forgiveness that the word earned for you on the cross allows you to get up when you stumble. Jesus' death on the cross saves you from your sins and gives you the strength to actually try and live that truth out in your lives. You have been freed to tame your tongue, to control your words, and by doing so, to continue working out and exercising that salvation that Christ earned for you. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.